music, news, talk, and sports. WQKR Portland, 1270 AM and 101.7 FM.
Hello, Sumner County. This is Len Asante, host of The Loyal Opposition, the show where you hear the other half of the story. I'm out making trouble for the supermajority this week, so won't be able to be with you. So sit back and relax and listen to a rerun of a previous Loyal Opposition. We'll be back next week with more news commentary and interesting guest interviews.
While the hosts and guests on this program are encouraged to express their views, they do not necessarily reflect those of the ownership or management of WQKR.
Good afternoon, Sumner County. Welcome to The Loyal Opposition, a show based on the American ideal that nations like ours benefit when government reflects a diversity of voices and makes space for dissent. That's why we're here, to air the voice of dissent to the supermajority's policies and ideas. I am your hostess with the leastest, the mouse that did not squeak. I am your host, Len Asante, Sumner County's most controversial radio host. It is 5:02 p.m. on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. It is 84 degrees and partly cloudy in beautiful downtown Portland. The low's going down to 68 degrees tonight. Thursday, sunny skies, high of 84, low of 64. So another beautiful day coming on up. On the show today, we have got the dynamic duo from the Collab back again to talk to us a little bit about an upcoming event. And we will be interviewing candidate for State Senate Karen Reynolds. But first, let me just remark quickly on a couple of things. You all knew that you're going to not be able to get away without me remarking on a couple of things. Last night was a sad night in Gallatin. Councilwoman Eileen George resigned last night as a direct result of basically bullying by the Sumner County Constitutional Republicans. According to her speech in the council chambers, which can be seen on the Gallatin government website, live on video, she was basically forced into resigning due to various falsehoods, harassment, including personal confrontations, text messages, emails, and so on and so forth. Folks, politics in Sumner County is pretty tough, but this is a new low. Eileen George, nice older woman who'd been representing Gallatin for 5 years, doing a good job, essentially forced out of her spot because she just could not take it anymore. We're going to have more about this in upcoming shows, so stay tuned. Until then, do you know that the city council can appoint a temporary replacement for Ms. George once her resignation is official? In other news, the saga in Millersville continues. Channel 5 had yet another News Channel 5 Investigates piece on the continuing goings-on in the city of Millersville, focusing on the conspiracy theory ridden assistant police chief of Millersville. When confronted by allegations of conspiracy theory mongering, the city mayor said he didn't know what was going on and everyone else just didn't want to talk at all. Phil Williams of Channel 5 hinted that would be more to come on this story, and I'm sure there will be. And again, these folks also aligned the county commission, the city commissioners of Millersville, three of the five at least, are aligned with the Sumner County Constitutional Republicans, as is the mayor. So again, we can see good government in action, not. All right, again, more to come on this story as well. You'll be hearing some of the key parties involved in both Gallatin and Millersville upcoming shows. So please stay tuned. However, before more horrible news in upcoming weeks, let's talk some good stuff. Let's talk happy stuff. We've got the ladies from the collab here, or as they like to call it, the collab.
Yeah, that's correct, Lynn.
Yes. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. We are so happy to be here.
Yes, we're very excited. We love being here always.
Okay, who are you and what do you do?
Yes, I'm Emma Holland, and I'm a co-founder of The Collab, along with being a multifaceted entrepreneur, doing lots of different things, but love being a mom and a resident of Hendersonville.
I'm Fabi. I'm co-founder of The Collab with Emma, same very multifaceted woman. I have a five-year-old. I have been in Hendersonville since 2020, and I'm very excited to continue to build a community of inclusivity in Sumner County.
All right. We had the collab on the show some months back, talking mm-hmm. about what the collab was and what's going on down there. But today we're going to talk about a special event that you've got coming up, something I've been promoting on the show the last few weeks, the Affirming Hendersonville event. So why don't we talk a little bit about what that is, where that is, when that is, and all that kind of good stuff.
Absolutely. So we, the collab, just for people who haven't heard us before, we are a woman-focused co-working space and event venue in Hendersonville, and we are all about empowering and supporting and bringing people together, specifically women and those minorities who are not getting the support and love that they deserve. This came on our hearts last year for June to create an event that was in celebration and inclusive of the LGBTQ community, something to bring people together, because we know that allies and everyone, there are people in Sumner County who want to support and celebrate, and we will not be silenced by people who do not want us here. So last year we had our first one, and it was at the Collab in Hendersonville, and
it rained.
And it rained. That's right, Lynn. It rained. But it was a really successful event. We had an amazing turnout of people. We had over 300 people come. We had over 15, maybe 20 vendors. It was a really successful day, despite it rained. But that can't stop us, right? Like, that won't stop love, that won't stop celebration, and that's exactly what happened last year. So this year, coming together again with Earth First Plant Co., who's based in Gallatin, they're our partner putting on this event, and together we wanted to make this event bigger and better. So we initially planned to have it again at the Collab, but with the influx of interest from vendors and attendees, we knew we had to make it bigger. So we have moved it to a local affirming and inclusive church, God Y. They have a huge space for us to use in the parking lot and inside, where we can have vendors, food trucks. There's a playground for a kids zone, all the stuff that you need. There's going to be special activities. There's going to be family yoga, story time, photo booths. We're going to make it bigger and better this year, and we are so excited that it's happening this Sunday, June 9th, God Y Hendersonville, from 2 to 5 p.m.
Okay, where is God Y? Can we give it to Fabi, you know?
Well, do you want the exact address?
Yeah, sure, whatever, yeah. Tell people where to go, yeah.
So it is 100 God Y Crescent, Hendersonville. So if you know where the Target is or the mm-hmm. Chick-fil-A, because I know where that is. Yeah. The Chick-fil-A at in Hendersonville, it is across the street. So instead of turning left to go to Chick-fil-A, you're going to turn right, mm-hmm. and it's you basically pass it. It's the church on your right when you pass, when you kind of come off of the interstate, mm-hmm. and you're on your way to Chick-fil-A. So
yeah.
We'll have signs up.
Good.
And yes. We'll direct people, and it is. It's very exciting to have a bigger venue to expand this event to see, hopefully we'll grow year over year and have this in years to come, because like Emma said, we don't have any affirming events in Sumner County, and this is one of the only ones. And we've had some comments and things happen around this event, but
really,
again, we are not going to be silenced.
Good.
We are we are going to make sure that the people who want to come and celebrate love and inclusivity are safe. We have that in mind because that's how, where we live. Yes. You know, that's the sure. that's the reality we live in right now. But as a queer woman who is married to a man and who has a 5-year-old and who wants to instill the values of my family into my child, which is my choice, I want her to be involved. We've been going to Pride events in Nashville. We've been I've been reading books to her. I've been talking to her about things that I feel like is important to me and my family. And I want there to be other families who can come together to feel supported and inclusive. And whether you're an ally or you're a part of the queer community, that you feel like Sumner County is still a place for you to live.
Excellent. Is there any cost to attend the event?
No cost. It's free.
Free.
A free event. And I'm just going to read our little blurb here because sure. I think this sums it up read very nicely. It's a free, family-friendly block party and market event dedicated to celebrating diversity, inclusion, and love in Hendersonville. And our kind of thing is when we're getting these, some of these comments that we've received is that love is greater than fear and hate. And
right.
we are going to persevere because the joy that we've already received from people who are excited about this celebration is better than I could have imagined. It gives me chills thinking about the people who are just so happy that this is happening in our area and who are excited to be there. And that's what I'm happy to see is the joy on their faces for being seen and loved. Yeah.
And since we have a big indoor space this time, obviously rain or shine,
yes.
we go on, we're on, right?
Rain or shine, but the weather's looking real nice for Sunday.
Excellent.
Or Saturday. Sorry. Yeah, Sunday.
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 Sunday. I'm just all over the place. So, but yes, I do want to give a quick shout out to some of our sponsors.
Please.
If I can. We are so lucky to have a great, great, great sponsors this year. First Horizon Bank, Beck Innovations, Gibson Furniture and Patio, Tea Tree Co., Better Than Booze, and Keen Music School, who's a new shop in Gallatin. They will be there. Keen will actually be our DJ for the event. So
oh,
we're
cool.
excited
we
to have
a
some
DJ.
Fun
All right.
music.
So there's music.
Yes.
All right.
So, and again, lots of great food trucks lined up. We'll be sharing on our social media this week who all of our vendors are. So you'll be in the loop and know what to expect.
Awesome. So that is this Sunday, June 9th, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., Godwy Church in Hendersonville.
Yes, that's right.
All right. All right. Well, we will look forward to seeing you there. The Loyal Opposition will be on the ground taking some pictures and doing some interviewing. See what's going on at this great event. So, folks, if you are... have some free time on Sunday afternoon. Come on down to Hendersonville and see where all the affirming action is. All right. Anything else before we go? Anything else exciting happening at the collab?
Oh, yes. So this month is Fertility Awareness Month.
Ah, okay.
And we are doing an event called Fertilities and Families. It is an event we're partnering with a fertility treatment center that's called Fertility Specialist Network, and we're doing it on Wednesday, June 12th at 6 p.m. This event will be empowering evening filled with hope, information, and community. We have a special guest, Dr. Leah Roberts, who is a reproductive specialist. I can't say that word.
Endocrinologist
yeah. and fertility specialist. We are so excited to have this event because we know that having fertility challenges is a big thing for a lot of people in our community as well as the LGBT community. So we want this event to be inclusive as well. So if you're someone who has going through fertility challenges, who have lived that life, who has someone in their life that is going through it right now, this is a place where you can feel seen and heard and just have community with others who are going through something similar.
And tickets are available on our website, thecollabtn.com. They are $20 per person or $35 for a couple. Your ticket includes food and drink and activity and some goodies, but more importantly, really great discussion with a fertility expert to really ask those questions that maybe you haven't felt like you've had the opportunity to yet. So we're looking forward to that conversation.
And this is in celebration of June being National Fertility Month. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot going on at the collab, folks. So check out their website. Tell us that website again, please.
Yes. thecollabtn.com. You can also find us on Instagram at thecollabtn.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Looking forward to the upcoming events at the collab. And I'm sure we'll have you guys back on the show at some time in the future. Sounds like there's always something going on at the collab.
There is.
All right. Thanks a lot, folks. We're going to take our first break now. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with State Senate candidate Karen Reynolds. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
The Sumner County Anti-Drug Coalition, an organization dedicated to ending drug abuse, is now the Sumner Prevention Coalition. But their goal is the same, helping Sumner County residents with drug abuse problems turn their lives around and get on the road to recovery. Their mission is to unite people with vision, commitment, and resources to provide solutions to eliminate substance abuse and make a difference for youth, families, and individuals in Sumner County. The coalition and its staff of experienced professionals in the field envision a healthy, safe, and thriving community, free from substance abuse of all kinds, tobacco use, prescription drug abuse, and underage drinking. Find out how the Sumner Prevention Coalition can help you, and you can help the coalition. Visit them online at sumnercoalition.org. That's sumnercoalition.org.
At the Law Office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. We have a team committed to helping you navigate the court system, whether you've been accused of a crime or you're going through a messy divorce in custody. Call our team to help you navigate this system. We are here to protect your rights, to demand your rights, to enforce your rights. 615-604-6263. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
Sumner Regional Medical Center believes that every person has the right to dignity, respect, and compassion as we journey through the cycle of life. That's why they have created High Point Hospice. Our team of doctors, nurses, hospice aides, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers will walk by your side, offering support, providing symptom management, and answering questions to bring comfort and peace to you and your loved ones. For more information about High Point Hospice, call 328-6690.
Portland is pleased to welcome Cole Lumber Company to our business community. They will now be this area's leading supplier of building materials. Operating since 1946, Cole Lumber, with their 7 Kentucky locations, has selected Portland as their first operation in Tennessee. And we are glad to have them here. Cole is 100% employee-owned. It is their goal to provide all of their customers with both quality building materials and friendly service. From a staff that is both knowledgeable and experienced, serving the needs of both contractors and homeowners, from building a dream home to a weekend project, Cole Lumber has the knowledge, experience, and materials to help you. No matter what you want or need, visit Cole Lumber Company, 462 North Broadway in Portland.
Hey, welcome back, Sumner County. You are listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR. I'm your host, Len Asante. 83 degrees, mostly cloudy in Portland. Going down to 68 degrees tonight. On the show with us today is Karen Reynolds. Karen is running for the State Senate as a Democrat in District 22. And as always, folks, if you have questions for our guests, be sure to text them in to me at area code 516-440-6310. That is 516-440-6310. And if we have time and if I see them, we will try to get your question on the air. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you. I really appreciate the invitation.
Oh, glad that you could make it. Hi. I'm going to start off with the first question I always ask everybody on the show. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, what you do, how you got here. Basically, what amazing life journey landed you in this seat next to me today?
Well, thanks. You know, that's a big, broad question. So I'll
it
try
is.
So I'm currently a city council person in Clarksville, Tennessee. I represent Ward 9, which is the middle of the city, and I was elected in 2020. How did I get there is quite a journey. I actually grew up in a small town in Michigan, and then actually left for education opportunities and joined the military when I was just 6 days after my 18th birthday, and stayed for 21 years. It was really a great career. I was in 9 different duty stations, 4 countries. I'm a combat army veteran. And after I retired, I actually went back to work for Department of Defense as a healthcare informatics. That's like an IT person who teaches the providers how to use the hospital computer systems, as well as integrate best practices into their daily surveillance of patients. So it was a great career. But as we all know, in 2016, things changed. I had always followed politics. When I go home to my small town, people knew I would be where I'm at today. They remember that I wrote a 29-page term paper on the Equal Rights Amendment, and I typed it on my father's old Underwood 1929 typewriter.
Ooh, an Underwood. Wow. Classic.
We did not have an electric typewriter at the time, so it was a classic labor of love. And so I've stayed true to those things, but I'm a mom, and I'm a union member, and I'm a healthcare voter. So in 2016, when number 45 was elected, I knew, for instance, that Roe would fall. I'd followed that enough.
Right.
I knew. There was no question in my mind that we would be exactly where we're at today. It was terrifying. And at that point, I was actually still working for Department of Defense. So I still had to be fairly nonpartisan because of the Hatch Act.
Sure.
But that didn't stop me there. So I actually organized Clarksville Indivisible. That's a group that really taught many of us, when the PDF came out for Indivisible, how to stand up, fight back, and how to contact our local and state and federal elected officials and, you know, really let them know that we were not happy with what they were doing and their choices. We made noise. I would say that Indivisible is probably one of the key reasons that we did not pass, that they were not able to totally get rid of the Affordable Care Act, was teaching all of us how to advocate. So I advocated. I was making the front page of the paper, and then, you know, for advocating and going against Marsha Blackburn and finding out the next day that my emails at work were searched. So things like
wow.
that happens. Wow. I knew it. I actually have a son that's gay, and both my sons are Hispanic. So really, I was standing up for my family values and applying what I learned of courage, candor, and commitment in the military. And then in 2020, I was elected to city council. I realized that we needed to stop, you know, pushing people that had no intentions of doing anything in our best interest and get people to the table. And that's when I decided to run. And I won. And it's been really a great privilege to be on the city council.
Excellent.
And now
excellent.
I've decided that it's time to run for state senate.
Right. All right, you in the Army, you attained the rank of Master Sergeant. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I remember reading at some point in the past that only a tiny, tiny fraction of all enlisted personnel achieved that rank in the military, like under 1%, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I actually made it pretty young in my career. I was always the person looking for the next rank and education. I consider myself a lifelong learner, so I was always like, you know, working on an education. I actually just finished my master's, woohoo, in adult education.
Congratulations.
It's never too late. But yeah, I was Army Pharmacy, and probably when I retired from the military, I was the senior enlisted for Army Pharmacy, and I was actually running the training program at the time I left the military.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, and so now you're running for state senate. I think you answered this question to some extent already, but why choose that race? Why choose to run that race at this particular time? Was it all having to do with 45, or were there other issues?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting, I mean, thanks for asking that, because some of the choice was tough. Whenever an elected person is new to the office, it takes probably two and a half years to really figure out the lay of the land and figure out who your contacts are. And I was really, I would say I've really done some great things in the community. I ran to say that I was going to stand up for infrastructure, and I proposed a new sidewalk ordinance. I am actually working on creating a medical home model for our foster care kids in our community. There's 322 in Clarksville. And so you really, I'm at the point of really making a difference. But I decided to run because, as you know, they're not paying attention to everyday Tennesseans.
Exactly.
They're not. I mean, they are disconnected. And the catalyst for me is education. My children, I grew up in public education. And my best friend's dad, I called him dad all my life. He was an educator. Her mom was an educator. And I am still in contact with my high school volleyball coach. She, you know, we talk about once a week. So I know what a difference educators make in the lives. And my sons, I chose to come to Clarksville and live in Clarksville because of the education system. I was in Texas at the time, and they had those very large schools, and I did not want to stay there with my sons. I wanted them. I chose Clarksville because they have an excellent program. And my son, my oldest son now, comes home, and he has a Mama Beach. So he calls one of his teachers every time he comes home and goes to dinner with her. Sometimes I get invited. But so they started the conversation about not taking the federal dollars for education. And that was like, wait a minute. My opponent had already run and said that he was not going to vote for vouchers. First vote in, 3 hours after being raising his hand, he voted for vouchers. And
well, didn't take long to break that promise, did it?
No. And this year, he was leading the voucher vote. And he is the 17th vote that Governor Lee needs to get his vouchers passed through the state Senate. So if we don't reelect him, then Bill Powers does not have enough votes to pass the voucher bill. So education, equitable access, we all know that that is the fundamental difference between authoritarianism and democracy is the education of all of our fair and equitable education and access for our children.
Exactly, as foreseen by our forefathers, our founders, and the main thing that the Tennessee legislature is supposed to do every year is fund education.
It's in our Constitution.
Amazing how they so don't want to do that.
Well, you know, they actually withheld $560 million for the voucher next year, knowing that we are underfunded in our schools, that we are...
Right, that's money that's been set aside that could have been given to our public school systems, but rather our tax dollars being set aside to potentially be used for private school voucher program. Private schools run on many cases by out-of-state corporations that have nothing to do with Tennessee except to make money. Billionaire hedge fund managers and all the rest. So I really do see vouchers, this voucher scheme, as a an attack on the very foundation of what we are supposed to be as a government, as and as Tennesseans. It's an interesting that you've sort of taken a district and made it a statewide issue, being that your opponent is a key swing vote in the voucher scheme. If he's not there, it won't pass. So you're sort of a bulwark. The 22nd district is sort of a bulwark against the, against the bad guys, right?
Right. And this is the seat to win in Tennessee. They have rezoned. When they redistrict, they really made our district bluer. And it is the most watched state Senate race in Tennessee. We also have Ronnie Glenn, who's already a Democrat, representing Montgomery County. And I don't know if you're following Allie Phillips.
Sure. She's a friend of the show. We've had Allie on.
So a shout out to Allie. She's in District 75. And now we have Garfield Scott, who is running for Curtis Johnson's open seat. So we have a great, powerful slate in Montgomery County, and we have an opportunity to flip this seat. We only need, I need personally 7,000 votes, that either people that voted not in their own best interest, or I'm hoping for people that don't normally vote to stand up and vote. We are a non-voting district.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately common across much of Tennessee.
In a non-voting state. But yeah. We are the lowest.
Right. Wow.
We are the lowest in the state of Tennessee, Montgomery County is. We had a 12% turnout in 2022, and then a 30% in November of 2022.
Wow, you even beat us. We were at 14.5 in 2022.
Yes.
And Sumner County moved all the way up to 20% in this past March election. All right. I hope all of you running up there are working together and helping each other out whenever possible. It does take a team to win, as I'm sure you're probably learning, right? Much like in the Army, you cannot do it yourself, right?
Yes, and that is, I would say, I think across the state of Tennessee, I think the party and the collaboration is really coming back together, and we're all figuring that out. We have a great Democrat Montgomery County party. We outraised the Republicans this year in our community.
Woo-hoo.
So we have a great leader, Chaz Offelman.
Chaz is great. Another friend of the show.
I have been a member of the party. I always say I remember walking into the party when it was like six of us there several years ago. And now the room is full. We filled the banquet. We're doing great things. But also there's so many other things in Tennessee other than just education. We talk about how we wanted to turn away taxpayer dollars for our public schools, but we could also see that we did that $20 billion of taxpayer funds that we paid as Tennesseans, we did not bring home for health care. And we can see we have 35 and counting maternity care deserts where 35 counties do not have maternity care in Tennessee.
35 out of 95, that's more than one third.
Right, and I think that number was before Henry County closed their doors.
Wow.
Henry County Hospital. So, and we have the highest rate of rural hospital closures. I mean, this is just not listening to what our community needs. We have the highest infant mortality rate pretty much in the nation. We have higher rate of infant mortality rate than many of our third world countries.
So. That's what a Republican supermajority will get you, I guess.
Right.
All right, Karen. I'm glad to see that you're not just a one-issue candidate, but actually have a portfolio of issues of importance to you and to your district. We're going to take our next break. When we come back, we're going to continue with another flagrant act of broadcasting called the Loyal Opposition right here on WQKR.
CEMC members, did you know CEMC now has an app? If you live in the CEMC service area, you can pay your bill, view daily usage, check your billing history, and more, all from your smartphone. Download the app today. It's easy. Just search for Smart Hub, all one word, in the Apple App or Google Play stores. For additional information, visit our website at CEMC.org and click on My Account. Cumberland Electric Membership Corporation, proudly serving our members since 1938.
Enjoy a harvest of values at Steve Austin Music at 115 Main Street in downtown Portland. With 25 years in business,
They are gearing up for the best holidays ever. New merchandise arriving daily, so must clear out the old to make space for the new. Best values ever on fiddles, banjos, guitars, and band instruments. Special delivery with purchase of a piano. Layaway is available. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 11 a.m. through 5 p.m., Saturday, noon to 4. Call 615-323-0701 or stop by Steve Austin Music at 115 Main Street in Portland, Tennessee for small town service, values, and the best of everything.
Now you can join Planet Fitness and get the PF Black Card for zero enrollment, $24.99 a month, and get all the perks.
I love perks.
Do you love having access to 2,000-plus locations?
Yes.
Bringing a friend every time?
Hashtag friend goals.
And recovering with massage chairs?
Who doesn't?
Get the PF Black Card and feel fit-tacular. Zero enrollment, $24.99 a month. See club for details.
Worry about the weather? Want to know when a bad storm is on the way? Even a tornado? If you're a resident of Portland, you can sign up for the Code Red Weather Alert Program, a free service of the City of Portland. Once you sign up, you'll get emergency messages by telephone or email whenever there's an emergency, including evacuation notices, weather, bioterrorism alerts. To sign up, just go to the City of Portland website, www.cityofportlandtn.gov, or call City Hall at 325-6776.
Welcome back to the Loyal Opposition, everyone. I'm your host, Len Asante. The guest today is Karen Reynolds, candidate for State Senate in District 22. We're talking about the laws of Tennessee, and I did a little research over the break. I had the Loyal Opposition intern team look up some of the strangest laws in Tennessee, folks, and I want to share with you some of these strangest laws in Tennessee. Hopefully, explaining why maybe a little change in our leadership down at the state legislature might be a good idea. Okay. Did you know, folks, that it is illegal to import a skunk into Tennessee? Except under very specific circumstances. It is also illegal to duel in Tennessee. And if you have been, if you've been convicted of dueling, you are not allowed to run for political office. In Tennessee, the only fishing equipment that you are allowed to use is rod, reel, and hook. Nothing else is allowed. Did you know that in Tennessee, you can eat wild game animals that have been accidentally hit by a car? That's called the roadkill bill. And now you're allowed to eat dead stuff on the side of the road. You need a permit to sell ginseng. A plant from Asia that has been used to treat minor illnesses for centuries. And the last one, it is illegal to sell wine for less than you paid for it. So no giving wine away. All right, and those are just a few interesting Tennessee laws that our team of interns found right here in Tennessee. Anyway, back with Karen Reynolds. I hope you put that skunk one at the top of your to-do list. I want to get back to your veteran status for a little bit, if you don't mind. You served our nation in the Army for 21 years. How does your service, if you in fact think it does, how does your service impact your candidacy? Does it influence you as a candidate? Do some of the skills that you picked up along the way, do you think will be useful in another form of public service?
Yeah, I would like to say the values that I say I grew up with in the military were courage, candor, and commitment. And I really believe in those. I earnestly serve our community. I show up when I, just to hear the conversation so I make the right decisions. And I'm really the one, and I learned this in the military, I am the person on the council. I do my homework. People know, like even people who, when I call them to ask them a question about, you know, a zoning ordinance, or I'm following up before a vote, just trying to make the right decision for the community, people will always say how much they appreciate the hard work and that I'm willing to listen to everyone concerned before I make a decision. That does have a price at times, but it is important for me. And I learned that in the military. You asked earlier about teamwork, and teamwork is hard, and bringing all in teamworks. And, you know, we all know that as progressives, we're not always easy to get together and form a united front.
That's the phrase, herding cats, comes to mind.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's important that you stop and listen. And so my military background, it gives me the courage, I think, to listen to both sides and really, but also the courage to know what I think is the right decision after hearing what people say and reading and doing the research to make the best decision for our community. So there's there's so many selfless services and other people go for gain. My opponent will often say that he is there to do the work for the governor, and that it is his job, you know, as a Republican to stay along party lines. And I would say that I'm going to do the work of the residents and the people, and to do my homework and to make the best interest for all the residents in our community, not a business, not follow the money, but follow the people.
Actually, a representative of the people, it seems to me that his job should be to represent the people of his district. It's right there in the job description, isn't it?
Yes.
We obviously disagree on that one around here in some places as well. Sumner County, where we are right now, actually, believe it or not, has one of the highest concentration of veterans in the state.
Oh,
and
that's...
I would imagine Montgomery County has got to have even more, considering, you know, the vicinity of Fort Campbell. Are there any veterans, we often seen veterans issues often seem to be federal issues, but are there any issues pertinent to the veterans of your district that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, so I actually went to the Capitol on, they have a Tennessee Veterans, 10 Vets. There's an organization, and I joined them. I'm a member of the Women's Veterans of America, Chapter 47. So I went as a member of that organization. And one of the biggest issues is legalization of medical marijuana.
Ah, okay.
That's been on their agenda for, I think, 4 years. They've presented it. They've helped write the bill that has not made it past committee in the last, I think, 3 years. But that same bill was passed in Alabama.
Wow. So a progressive bill. So Alabama is more progressive than Tennessee.
Yes.
For that's medical, saying something.
For medical marijuana. And so they have, and I always, when I was in the military, I was Army Pharmacy. So I remember when there was a drug, it's called Marinol, when it first came on the market. And it is a derivative of THC. And it was for nausea. And this was, I'm dating myself, but this was in the 80s when you really did not want to buy, you know, get caught with drugs. But people were already using marijuana to control their nausea for cancer. And I remember the patients coming to the window. And because there was a segment of them, and I was the one in charge of the controlled substances at the time, I really got to know them, their pain medicines. I noticed when someone didn't come, and when they didn't come a second month. Like I really became involved with my patients. And so we would talk about, and there were patients that said, oh, I'm so glad that this drug is here, because I really did not like marijuana, or it was so stressful for our family. But then there were other family people that said, it didn't work as well, because I would call them and say, you haven't picked up your medication. Is everything okay? You know, do you need something? And they would say, no, I'm good. I'm just not using it as much because it doesn't work as well. So it's already proven a medicinal. And, you know, for PTSD and seizures, there's actually certain families not coming to Fort Campbell because of certain medical conditions. They're actually choosing where they're going to go based on their medical conditions. And sometimes they choose not to come to Fort Campbell because of that.
But they instead choose to go to states that have medicinal marijuana.
Right.
So you're subject to the laws of the state that you're based in.
Well, yeah, this it's a little gray, right? Okay. Because you're at Fort Campbell.
Yeah, so you're on federal property.
You're on federal property. Right. So it's a little bit, but most of the time people live off base.
Gotcha.
And, sure. You know, the health care, if you're seeing a specialist, you're going off base most of the time nowadays instead of on base. So if you're particular needs, you would probably get a lot of your care in Nashville.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So veterans out there, got someone on your side. Let's ask one more question, and we'll take our final break. We've seen lots of research out there that has been discussed a lot on this show and other places that the Tennessee legislature, by and large, is basically out of touch with the majority of Tennesseans on many issues, including Republicans in many cases, right? You know, health care, gun control, you know, education, vouchers, the list goes on and on. Is that a concern in your district as well?
Yes, absolutely. So a couple of the issues that I've already touched on, you know, marijuana is one of them, medical marijuana. And access is very important in our community. Also, the vouchers and education. I led in the city council. We passed a resolution from the city council saying that Montgomery County does not support vouchers. And the community, we have an excellent school system. Our Montgomery County school system is doing great. And I love all the things that they do for our community. They already have the legal authority to say yes or no to vouchers. Our elected school board officials have said, no, we do not want vouchers in our community. And this is government overreach. This is not necessarily they're not listening to us. They choose to come in and take over the rights of our elected officials. And I think, what is the word? I'm sorry, I'm freezing up on that word. There's a whole movement, We Decide Tennessee, for government overreach. So this, the whole voucher conversation is just government overreach because local communities are not doing what they think is the right thing to do. And even healthcare. Most of our communities want to expand Medicaid, and we are in dire need of updating our healthcare. People are dying because of a lack of healthcare. And there is an answer for this, and we just refuse to listen and take care of our communities.
Gotcha. All right. Okay, folks, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll finish up with Karen Reynolds, candidate for State Senate in Tennessee. You are listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
D.T. McCall & Sons, your one-stop neighborhood superstore for appliances and furniture. Stop by today at 1220 Scottsville Road in Lafayette, Tennessee. Cozy Lazy Boy Power Recliner, $7.99, and Lazy Boy Reclining Sofas, $11.99. Want a great deal on a bedroom suit? We have it. Dresser, mirror, chest, and queen bed, $1,099. Need appliances? We have them too. You can choose a Frigidaire Gallery set, refrigerator for $6.49, dishwasher $2.99, range $5.29, and microwave for $2.99. GE washer $569.99 and dryer $549.99. Zero interest for 12 months through First Heritage. Free delivery and recycling within 125 miles of Carthage, Tennessee. Visit D.T. McCall & Sons today at 1220 Scottsville Road in Lafayette, Tennessee. Hey!
Why choose the Farmers Bank? We've been serving our community since 1912, and we still manage our business locally. This means that when you need banking services or a loan, we don't let a computer or someone thousands of miles away make our decisions. We make decisions locally. We visit with you in person. We shake your hand. We get to know you and your family. The Farmers Bank is a community bank built on trust and quality customer care and service. Visit us at any of our 11 area locations or online at thefarmersbank.net to see the Farmers Bank difference. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Ask any Portland Panther football player. Bumps and bruises are a part of the game, and sometimes the injuries are more serious and require physical therapy. New Life Physical Therapy, 705 South Broadway in Portland, is the official PT sponsor of Portland High School and Middle School football and is ready to be yours too. Create a new you with a visit to New Life Physical Therapy, 705 South Broadway in Portland. Call for an appointment today, 615-325-9007. When you need physical therapy, New Life will help you start feeling great again. This area's best Mexican food is now easier to find than ever before. A great Mexican meal awaits you at three convenient locations now instead of just two. Señor Fajitas Mexican Kitchen has a new location in Elk Grove, as well as Portland, and people are raving about their dinners and lunches. Tacos, burritos, fajitas, chimichangas, enchiladas, all the foods you love, done right and delicious every time. With chicken, beef, pork, even vegetarian entrees at Señor Fajitas, delicious sides, your favorite beverages, and great desserts. And now Señor Fajitas has three convenient locations, all just minutes away from where you live. 148 West Knight Street in downtown Portland, 123 Fairfield Road in Oak Grove, 1209 East Church Street in Orlando. Just minutes away from almost anywhere in Sumner County, you'll find Señor Fajitas and fine Mexican dining. Taco Tuesday, Fajitas Friday, but you never really need a reason to visit Señor Fajitas, just the opportunity to enjoy a good meal. Señor Fajitas, proudly presenting their newest location in Oak Grove.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Loyal Opposition here on WQKR Portland. I'm your host, Len Asante. It is 51 minutes past the hour, 81 degrees and partly cloudy in Portland, going down to 68 tonight. We are speaking with Karen Reynolds, candidate for State Senate in District 22, and I'm betting some folks in your district, the very western edge of our listening area, are listening in right now. I wanted to ask you a question before the break when we were talking about the quality of schools in Montgomery County. I wanted to ask if Montgomery County has decided to allow teachers to be armed. This was another bill that was passed by the legislature against much opposition this past session, a bill permitting teachers in schools where it is approved by the local education authority to go armed. What does Montgomery County think of that?
Well, Montgomery County, it was decided by the director of schools and the sheriff that Montgomery County would not support or would not arm their teachers. But that's very kind of frightening to me that that decision is made at that level, because that could be changed very quietly. It's not decided by elected officials. And so they still have the authority and ability to bring the gunfight to the classroom. I don't know if everyone who is listening understands that the number one cause of death for children in Tennessee is gunshot wounds. And it just, I mean, I can't even be more direct than that.
So we certainly don't want to be putting any more children in the vicinity of guns,
right,
considering already it is a problem that is horrific, actually. I mean, the fact that young kids are dying because people have unsecured weapons in their homes and are practicing common gun safety, right? And the Tennessee legislature seems to make it easier to do that every year.
Easier and easier. And it's also the most stolen item out of unlocked vehicles in Montgomery County.
Guns.
Guns are the most stolen item. People leave them in unlocked vehicles, and they leave them, you know, unsecured in their home. We've already lost a teacher who actually brought a gun to school and actually did not, you know, secure it, did not leave it in the car and lock it. So, I mean, it's just, and it's kind of surprising whenever I'm having conversations within the community, it always comes up. And it is pretty, honestly, it is a nonpartisan. People want us to like make a dent in gun violence, and more guns is not the answer.
Exactly.
Is, you know, I'm a retired Army Master Sergeant. I know what safe and smart gun ownership looks like, and I know, you know, what it that we all want to live next door to someone that is safe and smart. And growing up in Michigan, there was hunting season, but the conversation was, if you see a gun, come home. Like, don't stay. Nowadays, you can't go anywhere without seeing a gun.
Right, that's true. That's true. You know, and I don't get this, the, you know, the stolen from cars thing. I mean, I don't care what side of the gun issue you're on, and I own several firearms, but a fine firearm is a rather expensive investment. I mean, a handgun can easily be $500 to over $1,000, and to, you know, leave something that valuable in your car unlocked, I mean, that's just silly, isn't it? I mean, besides ridiculously unsafe, you know, it's just like leaving $1,000 in cash on your, you know,
on your dashboard.
On your dashboard.
Right. But it just, I think, again, goes back to showing a lack of moral courage of our elected officials. It takes moral courage to stand up, whether it's the gun issue. You know, we have passed this abortion ban that is really murdering women in our maternity beds. I mean, it is just not the right thing to do. And they know it. But they do not have the moral courage, and they will not say no to the money and stand up and do what is right for their community.
Yeah, I honestly think some of them know that they're doing wrong, but they do it anyway. Some of them know that they're not doing what their constituents want, but they don't care.
Right? You know, we have women, people, I don't care what side of the abortion is. If you have a stroke, there is a standard of care when you show up to the emergency room. You get out the medical book, you follow what it says, and if you don't, you can get sued. Our state legislature basically said, I don't care about the standard of care for women. We're not going to save your lives. We're not going to center your health. And unless you're at a certain level of, unless you're
Sumner Regional Medical Center believes that every person has the right to dignity, respect, and compassion as we journey through the cycle
of
life. That's why they have created High Point Hospice to assure that our loved ones will receive the necessary support to allow us to do so. At High Point Hospice, our team of doctors, nurses, hospice aides, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers will walk by your side, offering support, providing symptom management, and answering questions to bring comfort and peace to you and your loved ones. For more information about High Point Hospice, call 328-6690 or visit them online at highpointhospice.com. That's 328-6690 or visit them online at highpointhospice.com. Here's an important message from Portland Natural Gas. Always looking out for your safety. Think you have a gas leak? First, evacuate the area. Don't use matches, electrical switches, flashlights or telephones, and report it immediately by calling Portland Natural Gas at 325-6776. If you think the leak is serious and a real danger is present, call 911. Portland Natural Gas, looking out for your safety and providing cost-efficient heating and cooling for Portland residents.